Okay, everybody, welcome to this month's live training. Hope you're keeping well. Hope you're keeping very safe. Times are certainly challenging right now. In fact, I'm going to go to the webcam and I'm going to just one second, click on webcam. I'm going to click on stop slide presentation. There we go. Hello. I hope you're keeping really well. Yeah, times are certainly very challenging. COVID-19 is just shooting through the roof all over the world. Here in Ireland, we entered lockdown again last night and this week, this time for 6 weeks, right up until the beginning of December. So a lot of fear out there, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. People don't know if they will have jobs. We seem to come out of the other lockdown. People were very optimistic and positive, and now all their hopes are dashed, and it's not a good situation to be in. And still, there are people that believe that this thing does not exist. Well, I assure you it does. And whether it was created in a laboratory or whether it's the New World Order's plan or Illuminati's plan to control us, maybe, who knows? But at the end of the day, it exists. And I know several people who have lost loved ones to it. I was just speaking with a guy, a business colleague in the States 2 days ago, and I hadn't been able to contact him for a week or so. I was getting worried. And the reason was his grandfather had died from COVID-19. So it's extremely real, extremely worrying. And all we can do is, well, just be careful, and not be stupid. Because the reason it's spreading so quickly is, to a huge extent, stupidity. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that everything turns a corner. Nothing goes on forever. And even though we're going through a crisis now, or any time, if we look at our own lives and we're going through any crisis at any time in our life, it looks as though, it feels as though it's going to last forever. But this also will transform at some point. So it's just a matter of, what would you say, not being buffeted around by fear. Staying strong, staying wise, looking after our loved ones. That's the most important thing we can do right now. So anyway, today's session, today's live training, I've got lots of really great content lined up for you. And I really think what I'm going to discuss today can help you enormously, enormously. Because the subject is discover your purpose, master your life. And the sad reality is that we live in an age where a lot of people feel that they have no purpose or they don't understand their purpose. And you know what? If you are living your life without purpose, if you feel there's no purpose, to be honest, it affects everything. It affects everything. If you feel you have no purpose in life, it's just the one thing that saps people's energy and vitality is, and sadly, so many people today feel they have no purpose. They're not clear on why they're alive. They're not clear on their own unique purpose, because today we'll look and we'll discover that there are two types of purpose or mission in life. One is individual and one is greater purpose as a human being. Why are we here? Why? I'm just checking something. Just want to make sure. I'm just going to remove that offer. Ah, yeah, it's okay. It's there. If you look on the right hand side of the screen, a bit of text there. I didn't think it was appearing. I'm going to bring back the offer on the right hand side of the page. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you want to find out what we do every month, there's a link on the right hand side of the page that can bring you to that. But basically, we get together once a month like this for live training. And I teach I teach high performance and goal achievement strategies that have been scientifically proved to work. No guesswork needed here. These are the things that move the needle the most. And providing you test what I share each month, this time next year, your life can improve dramatically. So whatever situation you find yourself in right now, what I share in these monthly trainings are strategies, tools, and techniques to transform your circumstances and achieve your goals more quickly. And a lot of what I teach is high performance. And I'll talk more about that later. You might say high performance in a nutshell. For me, it's minimum effort, maximum result. The things that matter the most, the things that enable you to get to your next level of success, happiness, freedom, wealth, more quickly, scientifically proved to work. Okay, so before we get started, what's going to happen is I'm going to move over there in front of my main camera in a couple of minutes, and I'm going to blank out this screen. I'm at my desktop computer right now, and I'm going to do the live session from the main camera and mic. And then later at the end of the session, we'll have questions and answers. I'll come back here to my desktop computer and ask me anything. I'm here for you. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I just want to gauge where people are at in the, you know, right now. Before I do that, one second, I need to click on another panel here so that I can see your responses. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And if you would put your answers in the chat box at the bottom of the page, the bottom right of the page, if you're on desktop. If you're on mobile, I think you pull it out from the side or whatever, but I think you'll figure it out. So just on a scale of 1 to 10, how purposeful do you feel most of the time? Do you feel a lot of purpose in your life? You feel, you know, you know why you're here in this world? If so, give yourself a higher rating. So this is between 1 to 10. So if you feel full of purpose most of the time, rate yourself 7, 8, 9, 10. If you feel you're struggling to find your purpose, you're not really sure why you're here in this world, what you're supposed to be doing, give yourself a lower rating. I just want to gauge where we're all at on the call today, because I want to tailor it according to your needs. So I'm just going to look at what people are putting here, your answers. 7.5 out of 10. Helen, William, 5. Mark, 3. Okay. Another 7, another 9. That's great. That's the first 9. Another 7, 7.5 is a 5, 6. Okay. All over the place. All over the place. Lots of different numbers there. And that's completely understandable because, you know, not everyone feels that they have they're full of purpose. And with, you know, the hard realities of life, it's very easy to, even if we feel purpose most of the time, there are times in our life where things are really rough and we start questioning everything, and our purposefulness may slide. So in this session, I'm going to help you find a lot more meaning and purpose in your life. Okay, that's my promise to you. Another question before we get started. If you had twice as much meaning and purpose in your life, how would you feel? If you had twice as much meaning and purpose in your life, how would you feel? Would you feel empowered? Would you feel you can do anything? Would you go for your goals? You know, how would you feel? How would it make you feel most of the time? Once again, looking at your responses here. Okay, I'm seeing energized, more alive, greater fulfillment, good, more courage, more courageous, happier, that anything is possible. Exactly. Excited. Any more? Last opportunity. Okay. So in today's session, I'm going to help you uncover a deeper level of purpose in your life so you can live with greater aliveness and joy. And that's so important. When life is tough, it's very hard to feel full of aliveness and joy. And another one here, I'm getting, sorry, there's more coming in here at nine, very much another amazing. Yeah, exactly. We'd all feel amazing if we feel great purpose all of the time. So, okay. Right, and depending on how you feel most of the time, you probably heard me say this again and again and again, your dominant thoughts and emotions create the circumstances of your life. You draw into your life according to your dominant thoughts and emotions. So if you want to change your external circumstances, you need to first make a change within you, the way you feel most of the time. And it's very easy to get trapped in, locked into a negative spiral. Years ago, I lost everything. Couldn't feed my family. And so I know from personal experience how negative thoughts and negative emotions can just lock you into an awful situation. The only way to change that is to change how you feel and change the way you think. So we're going to look at that in a lot of detail. So let me see. I think I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to blank out this camera here, blank out the microphone, and in about, I don't know, 5 or 6 seconds, I'm going to be in front of the main camera and it'll all spring to life. So just bear with me blanking out the camera, first of all. Now the audio, just bear with me 1 second. Hang on a sec. Okay, just blanking this out. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this month's live training. And a very interesting title this month, Discover Your Purpose, Master Your Life. Discover Your Purpose, Master Your Life. And this is one of those questions that I ask almost everyone. I ask almost everyone I meet, what are your biggest goals in life? What do you want to achieve? This is another question I ask a lot of people. What's your purpose? What do you feel your mission in life is? And once again, often people have this glazed expression and they say, I don't know. So if you are not crystal clear on your own individual life purpose or purposes, if you're not really clear on your overall life mission, this session today, I believe, will help you enormously, because when you know why you're here in this world and what you got to achieve and why, makes such a difference. It can make the difference between just enduring life, a mediocre existence, and living every day as though it were your last, and loving every single moment. Really important topic. So what did we cover last month? Because every month, new members coming in, wondering what we did last month. And if you log in to the membership site, you'll find the last 5 months live training sessions, but this is what we cover, just to whet your appetite if you are new. How to become a better communicator, how to get people to understand your point of view, really important if you want to achieve more in life, how to gain more respect from others, how to be more persuasive in every interaction, whether it's your personal relationships, business, whatever, okay? And also how to use persuasion to get ahead life How to use persuasion to get ahead in life. If you're not a very persuasive person, very hard to get other people to assist you in what it is that you need to achieve. But when you're highly persuasive, that becomes so easy. In fact, if you look at highly successful people, they're always very persuasive. And how to persuade others to do what you want. And this is not manipulation. This is about creating sincere bonds of trust, okay? Putting your feet in other people's shoes and understanding their point of view. It's all about communication. It was a great session. And I also shared a 3-part formula for thinking through any situation in which persuasion will be critical. That formula will allow you to prepare in advance for any situation where you need to be highly persuasive. Whether that's a job interview, getting that next deal done, whatever it is, that formula is dynamite. I've used it so many times, and it enables you to focus on what really matters most in communication.
those touch points that connect with other people's lives on a very deep level. What would you say? Not universal principles, universal psychological touch points that when you know how to use them, understanding both ways goes to a totally different level. So it was a great session. So what are we going to cover today? Really interesting topic. Really interesting topic. How to discover your overall purpose in life. Your overall purpose in life. And also how to have greater meaning in life. A powerful way to find your multiple life purposes, because we don't just have one. And how to have more power and energy in your life, because it comes from this. And the certain way to live a life of no regrets. So many people in the last years, months or days of their life have so many regrets. This has been found, studies have been done. So many people have regrets. The things that they never started, the things that they never tried to do, the things that they yearned to do but never had the courage to or didn't allow themselves to. So many people have so many regrets. But I'm going to share with you what I'm sharing with you today. If you put it into practice, you will live a life of no regrets. Okay? And also how to craft a powerful life mission statement. Really important. This is something that you create yourself, that guides you every single day to be more, to achieve more, to be all you possibly can, the best you that you can possibly be. And it's a statement you craft yourself. I'll give you a very simple formula to do that. Really powerful. So why are these things even important? Well, first of all, you'll be able to achieve all your goals more easily. You'll also experience greater fulfillment in life. You'll save time and energy in every area of your life, instead of wasting it. And also, you'll be an inspiration to others. When other people see you with a very strong mission, a very strong, what would you say, purpose, and you're living your life with purpose, that's incredibly attractive to other people. It's incredibly inspiring. And when, you know, people will see you as a role model. They want to have the same sort of qualities themselves. So it's really inspirational when you see people connecting with their life mission and starting to live it. Okay, so that's why, what we're going to learn, going to cover today, and why. So let's first of all look at, clarity on life purpose and how to find your own unique overall purpose in life, your major life purpose. And this is one of the most important things I believe that you can ever do in your life, knowing what your overall major life purpose is. That's so important, because then it gives meaning to everything that you do. And unfortunately, most people never do this. They never try to find their major life purpose. It's very easy to drift through life if you're not aware of what your purpose is. Okay? And the result is many people, just like not setting goals, many people end up drifting and settling for a very mediocre life, a very mediocre existence, always settling for second best. But life doesn't have to be that way. And finding your major life purpose gives you far greater meaning, energy, and enjoyment in life. That's why it's so important that you find your major life purpose. And you can achieve huge goals that others never can. That's why this is so important. To achieve amazing things in your life, make a big difference in the world around you, and leave this life having no regrets, saying, wow, what a life that was. So the fact is, if you have no purpose, or if you don't feel your life has much purpose, you'd be directionless, be low in energy, and whatever you do, the results will be pretty not great. You know, that's what life can be like when you don't feel you have much purpose. But once you have a deep sense of purpose. You've great joy and fulfillment. You're much more fulfilled, far more aliveness and energy, and the impossible becomes possible. The impossible becomes possible when you have a deep, really strong sense of purpose. So this is why this is such an important session today, and providing you don't just watch this like TV, but put into practice what I'm sharing today. It can, honestly, it can change your life. All right. Now, there are two life purposes. There are two types of life purpose that you have and that I have and that everyone has. Firstly, this may look like a strange one, your overall purpose as a human being. Yeah, that's really important. Finding your overall purpose for existing. You might think, but people don't know the answers to that. No. Oh yes, they do. Wait till you see. And also your own individual life purpose or purposes. So you have two major purposes. Your overall purpose as a human being, and then your own purposes, major purposes. And we'll go into all of these, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to share with you a very simple way to find those purposes, those life purposes, and also how to really discover your life purpose. As I say, this is revolutionary stuff. People, things that most people never do. So many people get, you know, to their midlife. They have a midlife crisis because they haven't asked these questions. And, you know, a lot of people settle for second best, get to their 50s or 60s and saying, what the hell is it all about? And feel really dissatisfied with themselves and a lot of regrets even that early in life. But finding your purpose earlier in life, doesn't matter how late in life you're watching this, just do what I'm sharing with you. Just put into practice what the techniques I'm going to be sharing with you. Really test what I'm saying. Don't just take it as fact. You know, you only really discover something when you grapple with it and dig deep and see whether it's valid or not. I could be just making this all up. Test it in your own life, okay? So, your overall purpose as a human being. Well, this is Aristotle here. And this is the question that all philosophers have tried to answer. This is really the reason for philosophy, your overall purpose as a human being. So Aristotle said, happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. Is it? Maybe, let's just go back here. Is it? He could be right. He might be wrong. He could be right here, or he might be wrong. Our overall purpose as a human being. Is it happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence? If that's the case, there's a lot of suffering in the world. You know, that's so. If it's all about happiness, I think most of us are failing miserably. So, what is our purpose in life? What is our purpose as a human being? Well, some of you may know I've spent about 4 decades studying the evidence for life after death. My cousin died when he was 18. I was about 15 and a half or so. He was my closest cousin. We were really close. And he was killed on a bicycle. Car crashed into him. And at the age of 15, losing, you know, your favourite cousin, really, very painful. I was devastated. But it led me into asking all sorts of questions about what is the purpose of life? What is it all about? What should I be doing while I'm here? Is there any proof for all these different things? I'm really scientifically minded, quite skeptical. But, you know, a cynic is somebody who doesn't believe anything because they've had so many hard knocks in life that they can't believe anything anymore. That's really sad. But a skeptic is someone who digs deep and is not, doesn't believe superficial surface explanations. That's me, really. I'm really scientifically minded. And I've done a lot of life after death research. For example, this guy here, Dr. Pim van Lommel. He's a cardiologist in the Netherlands, in Holland, the Netherlands, and he conducted a study in, I think, about 10, or was it 13, I think, yeah, it was 10 Dutch hospitals over a 13-year period. And anytime someone clinically died, maybe on an operating table or whatever, went into cardiac arrest, no heartbeat, no brain activity. But if they managed to revive them, to resuscitate them, to bring them back, even though they had been clinically dead for a period of seconds or a couple of minutes, one of the members of his team would interview that person, but in a non-leading way, not saying, "Were you floating above your body? Did you see?" No, none of that. He said, you know, a very simple question. You died for so many seconds or minutes. Do you have any recollections during the time you were clinically dead? Now, very interesting thing. Not everyone had recollections. Not everyone, but many did. And many of the people who clinically died and did remember the experience, they reported the typical near-death experience type experiences, floating above their body, feeling peace and love, seeing the doctors and surgeons and nurses trying to revive them, overhearing what they were saying, sometimes moving through the walls in the hospital, hearing other conversations in distant parts of the hospital that later were verified as having taken place. All these amazing things that people who have true near-death experiences experience. Being able to read people's minds. And back in 2002, I was interviewed on radio and TV 78 times during that year because I founded the Institute for Afterlife Research. And very scientifically minded, I had dug deep for decades. And there's an awful lot of new age stuff that's, you know, in the near-death experience stuff, that's just not really accurate. But when you dig deep skeptically, you come across some nuggets of gold, some irrefutable evidence. So that's why I started the Institute for Afterlife Research in 2002. But this study in Dutch hospitals, after they interviewed people, they did it, I think, within 3 days of the person, you know, temporarily dying and being resuscitated, they would interview them, I think it was 3 years later and 10 years later. And there was a very big statistical difference between the people who had memories of during the period that they were dead and those who had none at all. Clearly, both sets of people were revived, you know, so death is not the end. They were able to survive that. But the statistical difference is fascinating. These people, I think they had something like 20 different characteristics, or completely different to the people who had no recollections during the time they were dead. In most cases, they had become insatiably curious about life and of finding out the answers. In most cases, they became deeply spiritual, but not necessarily religious. In many cases, they'd given up organized religion, but they'd become deeply spiritual. In a huge number of cases, those who remembered having these experiences were much more empathic, caring, involved in charitable work, voluntary work. There was this statistical 20 different things that were completely different to these groupings of people. But anyway, this study, I'm being a bit long-winded here, but it was a really important study. Dr. Pim van Lommel's research and his team in 10 Dutch hospitals over a 13-year period was so rigorously scientifically that it was published in the British Medical Association's journal, The Lancet. And the findings, the conclusion was that for the first time in history, we have scientific evidence that life continues after physical death. And also that they stated in the Lancet that what Dr. Van Lommel and his team have discovered may mean that we need to reevaluate, science needs to reevaluate its understanding of human consciousness, and that human consciousness may not be a byproduct of brain activity. That consciousness may reside outside the physical body, and that the brain might be like a receiver or switchboard. So that was his research. Now, this is the guy that got it all rolling with near-death experience. Dr. Raymond Moody, and this guy changed my life, because when my cousin Peter was died in, I think it was 1977, in that road accident, his book had just been published, and it was called Life After Life. And Dr. Raymond Moody worked in an emergency room in an ER department, and he encountered many people who clinically died and told him all these things that they were experiencing during the time they were dead. As I say, floating above the physical body, watching the doctors and nurses trying to resuscitate them, moving through walls, overhearing distant conversations, meeting deceased loved ones who told them it wasn't their time to stay dead, that they had to come back, they had work to do. Meeting a being of light. In many cases, people would interpret that being of light according to the religious beliefs. But it seems as though that being of light is actually your higher self that you're re-encountering again. And you re-experience every single thing that you've done during your life from a third-person perspective and first-person perspective. So you feel the pain and suffering you've caused other people. You feel that, as well as feeling the effects of the love that you've given to others. It's like you reevaluate yourself. You judge yourself in a way, or evaluate how your life has been. So Dr. Raymond Moody's book, he's written several books. A remarkable guy, but he was the first person who really brought to the world the near-death experience. And the fact is, millions of people have had this experience. Back in the days when I launched the Institute for Afterlife Research, 2002, I was inundated with phone calls because I was interviewed on the biggest radio program, the biggest TV program in Ireland, and I was inundated with people sending me letters, faxes back then, emails, and calls coming in by phone, and people were telling me all these experiences where they had clinically died, and that they, and in so many cases, they would tell me, I haven't even told my wife, or my partner, or my husband, or in my family, because they think I'm mad. So this is why people often don't share these experiences, because they're so profound, so life-altering, they're almost impossible to explain to others. Okay, so that's Dr. Raymond Moody. Then this is Dr. Brian L. Weiss. Dr. Weiss, he's, I think, a psychiatrist. And years ago, I think it was probably the 80s, maybe even the 70s, he was using, a lot of psychiatrists, like a lot of psychologists, use hypnosis to, you know, help people therapeutically. And he regressed. He was regressing through hypnosis one of his patients. Hypnosis is simply using the power of suggestion to bring someone into a very relaxed, focused state where they can recall memories that they'd forgotten. And he asked one of his patients, you know, it's amazing how this part of your consciousness, this deep river of wisdom, exists within all of us, and how it has the answers to all our problems, believe it or not. And he asked this patient, when they were under hypnosis, in this very relaxed, focused state, what is the origin of this problem you're suffering from? I think it was asthma or skin allergy or something, I can't remember. But suddenly they start talking about a previous life. And he just fallen on this thing about past lives. And anyway, he produced an amazing book and audiobook. I listened to the audiobook years ago, back in the 90s. Many Lives, Many Masters. It is fascinating. And if you want any proof or strong evidence that we live multiple lives, this man's work gives a very strong case, very strong case. So that's Dr. Brian L. Weiss. My friend Daniel Brinkley. Daniel and I were in Peru together and Egypt together, and we're still in, and that was back in 1999. We're still in communication. Remarkable human being. But he wasn't always a remarkable human being. He, back in the 70s, was a Marine. He was a very violent guy. He was known as a bully in the small town that he came from, Aiken, South Carolina. Everybody was scared of this guy. Danyon was not a nice guy. In fact, even though the US Marines were supposedly never in Vietnam, he was recruited into a division of, I think, the CIA. I say he was a Marine, recruited into a division of the CIA, where his role, because he outlived everyone in his battalion or battalions or whatever they call them, I don't know the military terms, but he's so good at what he did that he was recruited into an intelligence unit. And his role, his job for some time, at the time of Vietnam, was to hunt down military personnel, military targets and politicians in Southeast Asia and assassinate them. And this is just to explain how nice this guy was. He, in one case, he blew up an entire hotel to get one military target. And I think something like 100 people, men, women and children, died in that hotel. How the hell could he have justified it? He thought, oh, they're just guilty by association. Awful. This guy was a bastard. You know, he was just awful. Anyway, he was struck by lightning while on the telephone one day. And he literally went on fire. And he was clinically dead. He's the longest clinically documented near-death experience. He was clinically dead for 28 minutes. And you might think, how is that even possible? After 2 minutes of oxygen deprivation, we're in a vegetative state if we're revived. And that is generally true. But there are cases where people have died, like put into extremely low temperatures, where all brain activity ceases. And they can be revived a day or two later. So it's not a hard and fast rule, but he was clinically dead for 28 minutes. And what was interesting about his experience? Well, having been a bully and then a butcherer and killed many, many people, what sort of near-death experience do you think he had? Well, he had all the usual near-death experience type experiences, floating above the body, hearing doctors and nurses trying to revive him, moving through walls, all that sort of stuff. And he said he moved through this tunnel of light and he met this being of light that almost engulfed him. And he said it was like a dam had broken in his mind and every memory in his life flooded out. In fact, it wasn't like watching a movie of his life. It was like reliving his every moment of his life from the moment he was born up to the point he was struck by lightning. And Daniel's, as he called it, a panoramic life review, where it's like his higher self was helping him evaluate how he had lived. Okay? He had to go through a horrible reliving of his life. He had to experience the pain and suffering he'd caused every single person he had hurt during his life. During the time he blew up that hotel and killed over 100 people, he had to experience the death of each one of those people, the confusion, the pain as they died. And then he had to experience the effects of the death of each one of those people. Out in 360 degrees, the wife, the children, all the cousins, the relatives, he had to feel all those people's pain and suffering. So at the end of this experience, he couldn't forgive himself. He realized he'd just been an awful human being. But this experience changed him. And, you know, Danyon is responsible for recruiting more hospice volunteers than anyone on the planet. Hospices are places where people go, like little hospitals where people go to die when they have a terminal illness. And I did hospice volunteer work back in the 90s and early 2000s because of this guy. And I used to sit with people who are, you know, in their last weeks and help them if I could. And Danyon, of what's really remarkable and unique about his near-death experience, and many other people have experienced similar things, but he was shown, he claims that he, after he had this panoramic life review and he found he couldn't forgive himself, he said it's like he moved through all sorts of different increasing levels of vibration, you know, and he encountered what he calls 13 beings of light. And each one of these beings approached him and showed him or immersed him in 117 major world events that would take place in the future. Now, this was 1975, I think, that this experience happened to him. But Danyon experienced the accident, nuclear accident in Chernobyl. He knew various presidents of the United States. He knew about the thinning of the ozone layer. He was shown all these things years before they happened. Now, when I say 117 major world events, I'm talking about really major world events. The Gulf Wars, economic crash, pandemic. All these things that we have, I think there's only a couple more of these predictions that have to be fulfilled, and they're close. So that, why am I telling you this? Because the fact that he was shown these major world events that would take place in the future, and the fact that they actually occurred, really specific, really huge major world events, it proves that when he was clinically dead, he, something remarkable happens during death. It's like you have access to all sorts of knowledge and understanding that you can possibly have during waking consciousness. And he's had several near-death experiences since. In fact, he saved my life on one occasion, maybe more than one occasion. Remember, back in 1999, we were in Peru, and he was suffering from terrible sinus problems. And he asked me if I could give him some healing, some energy healing, just very basic, very simple. Anyone can do it. And I was just working on him, and he said, he stopped me at one point. He said, "You're going to go to Turkey, aren't you? You're going to go to some seminar or symposium." I said, "I am." And this was May 1999. That was for August. I was supposed to go. He said, "Don't go." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because there's going to be a big earthquake in exactly the place that you're going to be that day." I said, "Really?" Guess what? I cancelled my plans. I didn't go to Turkey to that seminar or water symposium it was. And guess what? There was an earthquake in exactly that place that day. And several, you know, I think a few hundred people died. So he saved my life. He told me about Fukushima, that nuclear disaster before it happened. Anyway, I don't think that's in his book, actually. So that's Danyon. Proof that these things are real, that they're not products of oxygen deprivation and a dying brain, quite the opposite. After death, most people enter a state of hugely expanded consciousness, hugely expanded awareness and consciousness. I don't tell many people this, but I've never had a near-death experience, but I've had several what are known as out-of-body experiences. I share this with almost no one, so don't tell anyone. But I know from those experiences that our mind continues in a superconscious state, much more tangible and real than even, you know, daily life. But what we're doing here is extremely important in the world, because it we'll go into this shortly. Okay, and this is Professor Ian Stevenson. Highly rigorous scientific researcher. And he was the He was the professor of, I think, psychiatry or psychology in the University of Virginia Medical School, I think, for many years. Really highly regarded guy. You can buy his books. They're very technical because they're written for academics and people in medicine. But basically, back in, I think it was the 60s, he heard about a case in India of a young boy who remembered a past life in a nearby village. Or a town, maybe. I know, it was about 100 miles away, I think. And it seemed to check out from what he had heard. So he got on a plane, he flew to Sri Lanka. And he met this little boy and the parents. And this boy remembered so much from what he claimed was his immediate past life. So Dr. Stevenson, Ian, Professor Stevenson's, I don't know if he was a professor then, but Ian Stevenson went with, I think, a couple of researchers with the boy to this this town where he claimed he had lived. And I don't think he had ever been there at this point in his life. And I think he was young, 6 or 8 years old. You can check out all these the stuff yourself if you want to dig a bit deeper. But basically, he found his previous wife, who was quite old, and they recognized each other immediately because they started, you know, recounting stories of their life together. And I think he met his children. And he, one thing he said to his wife, who, as I say, was very old at this point, and he was just a little boy, he said, "Did you find the money that I kept and saved?" And she said, "What do you mean?" "The gold coins that I left in case anything happened." She said, "No." So do you know what they did? He said, "It was over there in the corner." And he pointed to the corner of a room in the house. And he said, it's buried. So they dug it up right there and then. And guess what happens? They found the gold coins. So that's more proof that these things are real. So that's Professor Ian Stevenson. So you can look at the evidence for life after death from lots of different perspectives. From cardiology, from near-death experiences, you know, people who die temporarily in emergency rooms. Dr. Brian L. Weiss, regressing people through hypnosis to find the cause of their current problem or condition or sickness. Daniel Brinkley, whose near-death experience proves, because of all the predictions that came true, that these things are real. And Professor Ian Stevenson's work, I believe his books are huge. So much evidence. Something like tens of thousands of verified cases of reincarnation. I mean, overwhelming. And you might think, how have I never heard of this before? You know what? We live in an age where there is incredible amount of information on every single thing under the sun. And no human being has the time to read everything and learn everything. And you have to dig deep and look for things, because you won't hear about these things on the news or watching magazines, not so much. Their work, it's becoming much more mainstream. People are talking about these things. But back in the 70s, you'd be frightened that you might be burnt at the stake for telling someone about your near-death experience, or ended up in a psychiatric hospital, which did happen to people who had near-death experiences because people thought they were barmy. So that's that. So that's near-death experiences. Now, what does the research tell us? What does all this research tell us? And it's amazing, but the purpose of life is to grow spiritually and to help others in any way that we can. I think, what? That is the culmination of all these people's research. Oh, we didn't talk about Robert Munro, but this is what the research, you're talking about decades of research, millions of people being interviewed. And the research finds that the purpose of all human life, your life, my life, everyone's life, is to grow spiritually and help others in any way that we can. Now, what does that mean, grow spiritually? It does not mean you need to become religious. A lot of people who have near-death experiences, they become deeply spiritual. In many cases, they give up religion, you know. But when I say the purpose of life is to grow spiritually, that means developing those inner qualities of compassion, love, appreciation, contributing to the happiness of others. Though that's what I really mean here. The purpose of life is to grow spiritually and to help others in any way that we can. Now, if we are growing as a human being, we are becoming the best version of ourselves that we can become, and we're making effort all of the time to do that, and we're also contributing to the happiness of other people and helping them along their path in any way that we can, even if it's just a smile or a bit of encouragement, that is helping us achieve our purpose as a human being. If we are doing those things, those two things, self-development and helping others, then we are fulfilling our mission as a human being, our overall life purpose. Really important stuff. This very basic, very simple, but it can change lives. This guy here, Dr. Robert Munro, Robert Munro, very famous businessman. He started the Munro Institute, where you can go. He's dead. He died, back in the 90s maybe. But remarkable researcher. You can go to the Munro Institute, I think they're in Virginia, and you can use their scientific methods to, what would you say, become aware in the realm that we all go to after physical death. You can, using scientific principles, alter your consciousness in a certain way where you can perceive in certain ways that you can't normally perceive. You can explore the realms of consciousness that we go to after death. And absolutely amazing research. One of his books, actually I mentioned it at the end in the resources section. So that's the overall, our overall purpose as a human being. That's my book, Afterlife, Startling Evidence for Life After Death. Anyway, okay. So what about our own individual purpose? That's the overall purpose I just talked about. What's our own individual purpose? Well, as Confucius said, choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. If you love what you're doing, it's not work. You know, I love what I'm doing and I work very hard. Sometimes I get a bit burnt out, but over time, you know, most of the time, I love what I'm doing, even though I'm working hard. And so I totally agree with what he said. Choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. And sadly, most people are stuck in jobs that they hate. Totally different experience of life. So yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The reality is a lot of people get trapped in a job they hate because they're not clear on what they want. Getting clear on what you want is the start of an amazing life. I need some water. 1 second. To your very good health. Okay, so how do we discover what our own unique purpose is, or purposes? Well, and also, can we combine these two types of purpose? In other words, our major life purpose, our purpose as a human being, and our own individual purpose. Can we combine them to create a powerful major life purpose? Yeah, absolutely can. We can all do this. Yeah, yes, we certainly can. Okay, so overall purpose and individual purpose. Okay, so when we start contributing to something greater than ourselves, we become deeply happy and truly fulfilled. If we're spending our time doing something that makes a big difference in the world, it gives so much fulfillment and satisfaction. And also, we become a powerful catalyst for change in the world around us. It's very empowering when we're contributing to something big in life. When we are clear on why we're here and we start doing it with as much energy and dynamism as we can, we can become a great catalyst for change. So I've a simple exercise that I would like you to do. You must do this. In fact, don't worry about writing anything down, because at the end of this live training session, I'm going to give you the slides in PDF format. You can download them and you can see all these. So you don't need to write out anything. You get all these slides at the end. So how to find your own major life purpose? Explore. All you do is explore your passions, your skills, and your past experiences. So step one is ask yourself, What activities make you feel most alive? What activities make you feel your best and excited? If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you love to do? If you knew it was impossible to fail, what would you love to do that you're not doing already? If you were a billionaire, what would you spend your time doing? Unlimited resources, how would you live your life? What would you do? What do you enjoy learning about the most? Learning is so fulfilling. Not just learning for the sake of learning, but to enrich our lives and those around us. Learning is so fulfilling. So what form of learning do you enjoy the most? What issues have been a constant theme in your life? We all have the same sort of issues that repeat throughout our lives at various points. Sometimes we eventually master them so they don't recur. But what issues have been a constant theme in your life? Because those issues, other people have them as well. And your experiences can really help them, really encourage them to keep on going. And what do you enjoy talking about most when you're with your friends? What do you love talking about? What gets you really passionate and excited? What kind of giving is most rewarding to you? Because there's a term, giving all is gaining all. When we are giving, when we are acting, what would you say? When we are acting out gratitude, not acting out, but when we are taking action based on gratitude, giving, it makes our own life sparkle. We feel so much different. So what kind of giving is most rewarding to you? What have you struggled with most of your life? Again, what you struggled with that can be great inspiration for other people who are going through the same. And what are your most unique talents that you excel in? We all have unique talents. A lot of people say, oh no, I don't have any talents. I really don't. Rubbish. We all have unique talents. Being a good listener, that's an amazing talent. Being optimistic, an amazing talent. Appreciating nature, an amazing talent. It doesn't just have to be, you know, really big things. The small things are often the things that matter the most. So ask yourself these things. Print this out. Print these slides out after. And do this process. Do this exercise. So that's step one. How to find your own major life purpose. Step two, ask yourself, how could I use these passions, skills and experiences on the previous page to also help others? Write down all your ideas. How can you use, let's go back, all of these things to help others? Okay. Yeah, here we go. So write down as many ideas that come to you as possible. Step three, the one that gives you the most excitement, energy and enthusiasm. The one that really excites you. And that also contributes to your inner growth, very important, is most likely your current major life purpose. Okay, so this is a simple process that can be life-altering when you do it. So I'll read that again. Step three, write down all your ideas. The one that gives you the most excitement, energy and enthusiasm, and that also contributes to your own inner growth, like I was saying, your own spiritual development growth, is most likely your current major life purpose. It's that simple. Might take you 30 minutes, might take you an hour, probably could be one of the best hours you've ever spent in your life, really. Step four, create a major life purpose statement that reflects your choice. So what is a major life purpose statement? And I'll tell you in a moment. Step five, fine-tune and improve that statement until it feels just right. It won't feel completely right immediately. It might take, you know, it might morph a bit over the year. You might need to tweak it and fine tune it. So let's look at that. So create your own major life purpose or mission statement. Many people call it part one. So your major life purpose equals your passions, skills, experiences and daily actions and contributions to others. Okay, I've already covered that. That is what your major life purpose is. Your passions, skills and experiences, plus your daily actions and your contribution to others. Contributions to others. So what is your major life purpose statement? Have you formulated one? It's important to do this because if you once you craft your own major life purpose statement or mission statement, a lot of people call it, then if you look at it every day, when you look at it every day, it helps guide you every day of your life to be that sort of person that you need to be. Okay, so mine is, my own mission statement is to inspire, motivate and empower people so that they can achieve their goals and become deeply happy. That could be maybe compressed a little bit more. The less words, the better, but it's not bad. So it's to inspire. My mission statement is to inspire, motivate and empower people so that they can achieve their goals and become deeply happy. That's really the core of everything that I do. Okay, that's the main guiding principle that guides me each day. All of the time, I am doing my best. You know, I go off track a little bit, maybe for a day here or there or a few hours, but I always keep returning to this because that's the difference between a deeply fulfilling life and one that's sort of aimless. So you need to create your own statement. More on this in the high performance section in a moment, because we're going to drill down on this from a slightly different perspective. It'll help you become even clearer. And you know, as I said earlier, it takes time to create a mission statement that truly fits. And you know, it may change a bit over time. And as you discover your purpose more clearly, you might need to fine tune it. But that phrase, that mission statement that you've written down, very important, very, 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 very important. So, typical mission statements of famous people. Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins says, to make a significant difference in the quality of life of people. And Oprah Winfrey, her mission statement is to be a teacher and to be known for inspiring my students to be more than they thought they could be. And Sir Richard Branson, his one is to have fun in my journey through life and learn from my mistakes. And Martin Luther King, his mission statement was to unite people and promote equality. As I say, the shorter, the more condensed, the better. But make sure it has all the elements in it that perfectly reflects your mission in life. Okay, so high performance training section. What is it? Well, high performance means excelling and succeeding above and beyond standard norms consistently over the long term. And high performance techniques have been scientifically proved to work. High performers are people who take adequate rest and exercise. They pay attention to diet and nutrition, because all these things have a massive effect on how much energy and what you can accomplish in a day. High performance is not about working till you drop. No, it's about minimum effort, maximum result. It's about being more effective and efficient and saving energy and dramatically reducing stress so you don't get burnt out. High performers are not peak performers. Athletes are peak performers. They can only do peak performance for a short time. A high performer is about being more successful consistently over the long term. And high performers, well, they take energization breaks, at least most of them do, every 60 to 90 minutes. A 2-minute exercise break or energization break or refocus break. I teach these techniques every few months. Tapping techniques, breathing techniques, they only take 2 to 3 minutes. And you go back to your work after 2 or 3 minutes, you feel totally different. Much more focused, energized, alive, happier. And it's just amazing when you, as you go through the day, if you're replenishing your energy instead of slowly losing it all. Okay. And high performers high performers progress their goals consistently every day, or most days. And I shared in my bestseller, The Most Powerful Goal Achievement System in the World, the Daily Success Planner. Very simple sheet of A4 sheet of paper where you plan your day. So easy, so simple, but highly effective. And the result of doing all these things, well, you'll dramatically increase your productivity because it's about working smart rather than hard. And also, you'll greatly reduce stress and burnout. and you'll have greater focus and get more done and faster, and you'll be more successful. You can achieve greater success than 95% of the world's population. Greater than 95%. And this is fact. Okay. So the high performance coaching model, just as a recap, we go through this every month very quickly, but I'm going through this because there are new people coming in every single month. So we experience these things: clarity, energy, courage, productivity, and influence by mastering these areas: productivity, persuasion, psychology, physiology, presence, and purpose. And every month we cover one of these. Today, it's purpose, the very bottom one here. Purpose mastery. In fact, we return to each one of these more than once during the year. We did talk about purpose a few months ago, but now today's session is purpose mastery, or discover your purpose, master your life. Okay, so that's what we cover every month, one of these. Right, so these are questions you're going to need to ask yourself. Once again, print out the PDF file and answer these questions that I'm going to be asking you in a moment. So, high performance tool, purpose mastery questions. The world's highest performers are remarkably purpose driven in how they live and lead. So, number one, how purposeful have you felt in the past 3 months? So, rate yourself between 1 and 10. 10, you've been crushing it, you've been doing full of purpose. 1, if you don't feel very purposeful over the past 3 months. Number two, what would you need to do to feel you're living with greater purpose? Answer it. What would you do? Number three, have you ever felt off purpose in your life for a prolonged period of time? Number four, if so, what was happening then? Something will have been happening that made you off purpose. Number five, when you are feeling purposeful during your day, how would you describe it? How do you feel? What are you doing? What gives you great, what makes you feel really purposeful, okay? Number six, do you feel the people in your life now understand what your purpose is and relate to it? If you don't, you won't share or ask for help when you need it. You'll be all alone. And, you know, when you share your purpose with others and it encourages them, they'll try to help you achieve it. So you can achieve your purpose far more effortlessly. Number seven, is there anyone in your life who seems to be off their own purpose? Number eight, if so, who are they and how could you help them? How could you help them? Very important. So, defining and leading our purpose. Defining our life's purpose in a singular statement is often regarded as a must-do activity in personal development. That's what we covered just a few minutes ago, your mission statement. The challenge is that you can have different purposes in different parts of your life. You might have one in your relationship and another in your career and at different times in your life. That's why it may change. You need to change your statement various times. Also, here we go. Unfortunately, too many people also obsess about their life's single purpose. And simply don't realize living each day with purpose and meaning is the ultimate goal, regardless of whether you're clear on your overall life purpose and plan or plan and purpose. I gave you a way to become much more clear, but even if you find you're still not clear, this is what we're covering right now will help you anyway live each day with more purpose, even if you're not crystal clear on what your purpose is. So it's coming at it from a slightly different angle. Still, having a singular statement, mission statement, in mind can sharpen your focus and remind you of what's important. That's why I look at my own mission statement each day. It reminds me, because our memories are terrible. All of us, our memories are terrible. Our greatest impediment is that we forget stuff, the important stuff usually, the small stuff, which is the most important. But a single statement that you can read each day can sharpen your focus and remind you of what's important and keep you on track. So, create your own major life purpose or mission statement, part two. Once you have your purpose statement, start sharing it with others. When they see you living and role modeling your purpose, they're inspired to do the same. You can act like a catalyst or a beacon of hope and light for those around you. So, in defining your purpose statement, there are a few things to consider. Firstly, the statement can be as much about being as doing. For example, Brendan Burchard, who started the High Performance Institute, he founded it. His photo was there a moment ago. Remarkable human being. So, for example, part of Brendan Burchard's purpose statement is to be fully alive and vibrant, which has nothing to do with a career or goal-oriented objective. So, this is what you need to write down. The things I'd like my purpose statement to remind me to be include, fill out the blank. Number two, the statement can have to-do items that aren't career-focused. Brendan's includes to adore and appreciate my loved ones, which again is not something that is career related at all. Even in addressing career or ambitions, Brendan's to-do item is to strengthen and share my gifts. And again, that's another broad statement. Though everyone tells you to be super specific about what you want, which is great in goal setting, purpose statements are a bit more broad in scope and help us focus on what's really important in a variety of contexts. So this is where you need to fill in the blank. The things I'd like my purpose statement to remind me to do include, fill in the blank. Now, number three, the statement might also have a so that element that describes why you want to be and do all these things as part of your purpose. For example, Brendan's statement ends with, so that I might inspire others to live more fully, love more openly, and make a greater difference today. So, here's where you fill in the blank. The why or so that reason that I want to be and do the things I wrote above is, fill in the blank. Do this. This is a dynamite. Now, tie together your answers 1 to 3 in one statement. And again, Brendan's is, the purpose of my life is to be fully alive and vibrant, to adore and appreciate my loved ones, and to strengthen and share my gifts so that I might inspire others to live more fully, love more openly, and make a greater difference today. So you need to come up with your own using this formula. His is quite wordy, quite long. If you can compress it a bit, great. Don't have to, but often shorter statements have a more powerful effect on the subconscious mind. Sometimes if we add too many words, it can have a dilution effect, but do your best. And as I say, over time, it may change a little bit. So write your own statement here on the page once you've printed it out. So in order to lead and inspire others in finding their own purpose in their lives or careers, I could begin a habit of fill in the blank. When you help others find more purpose in their lives, it helps you in so many different ways. Once again, as I said earlier, the purpose of all human life is to grow spiritually and to help others in any way that we can. Okay. So, what did we cover? Because, you know, today we covered a lot of really important subjects. Well, one major subject. And we're going to go to questions and answers in just a moment. But this was a really important session. If you've been watching this with your feet up and your arms folded and just taking it easy, sit upright, please. Print this out and do this exercise. If not immediately, do it. Promise yourself, commit to doing these exercises this week. If you don't do it in the next few days, you'll forget about this. And it'll be just one of those 1,001 things that are, oh, that was interesting. Put it into practice. It can change your life. It can carve out an amazing future so that you live a life of no regrets and you live a life full of fulfillment and gratitude and joy. This is really possible for everyone. So what we covered today, how to discover your overall purpose in life, how to have greater meaning in your life, a powerful way to find your multiple life purposes, because we don't just have one, how to have more power and energy in your life, the certain way to live a life of no regrets, and how to craft a powerful life mission statement. So that's what we covered. Resources, I mentioned various different people here and different authors. Pim van Lommel, his book, and I haven't actually read it, Consciousness Beyond Life, The Science of the Near-Death Experience. Then Dr. Raymond Moody, his first book was Life After Life, and then there's The Light Beyond, Coming Back. Oh, he's written all sorts of amazing books. Dr. Brian L. Weiss, Many Lives, Many Masters, was the first one that I bought back in the 90s. Blew my mind, absolutely fascinating. Being really scientifically minded, wow. These authors, there's no airy-fairy New Age stuff here. Not that New Age stuff is bad, but it's a kind of a melting pot of everything. These researchers, their work really stands up to scrutiny, and it's just the evidence is overwhelming from each one of them. So Daniel Brinkley, his first book was Saved by the Light, several other great ones as well. Professor Ian Stevenson, Children Who Remember Previous Lives, although he has other books, and as I say, some of them are massive. And Robert Munro, Journeys Out of the Body. That was his first book. Absolutely fascinating. And finally, Brendan Burchard, High Performance Habits. And Brendan's High Performance Habits, it's all about high performance, but none of the strategies, tools, and techniques that I share with you each month are in the book. It's all about high performance in general and what high performance does, and it's fascinating. But I teach you the actual, what would you say, paint-by-numbers stuff in these live training sessions. So it's over to you. Let's do questions and answers. I'm going to go in front of my computer, my desktop computer, and my webcam. I'm going and answer all your questions. Take this opportunity to ask me anything. It doesn't have to be about today's session, although it can be. And you know, if there's a question that you have, you can be pretty much sure that other people will have the same question, but they've been too shy to vocalize it. So please ask me questions. I'm here for you. So I'm going to blank out this camera and this microphone. It'll go blank just for a moment. You'll hear shuffling noises, coughs and splutters, and then my webcam on my desktop computer will spring to life. Just be with you in 1 second. Just 1 sec. Okay. Right. 1 second. What is happening? Okay. Sorry, there's a technical problem there. Something popped up on the screen. I don't know what that is. I'll have to look at the recording. Anyway, I hope you found that helpful. Now, questions and answers. Look, take this opportunity to ask me absolutely anything, whether it's about today's session or anything that you feel I can help with. Do take this opportunity. Helen says, sorry, Mike, got to dash off and eat because I'm on a coaching session very soon. Looking forward to receiving the slide pack. You're welcome, Helen. Bon appetit. And also, oh yeah, first of all, the thing I need to do is share the slides. And you're going to see these on the right-hand side of the page. Just 1 second. Slides. No, sorry, files. This is what I want. Click on share now. Let's just see if you have them on the right-hand side of the page. You do! There's a little icon that you can click on that says slides. There's two tabs. One that says offer. The other one that says file. You just tap on that or click on it, and you can download the all the slides from today's session. So questions. Okay, first one is from Tom. Hello, Tom. Tom says, I'm not sure why I need to study the evidence for life after death to find my major life purpose. It's a subject that scares me, and I'm not sure if I even want to go there. Is there another way? No, it's absolutely not essential. No, if you don't want to look into the evidence for life after death, absolutely fine. You don't need to do that. Just do the exercises that I shared with you, because they're really, really effective. But at the same time, I would say that, you know, it's a subject that scares most people. It's one subject that most people want to avoid even looking at, which when you do, and you read some of the books that I've mentioned, oh my goodness, it's so enriching. It can open a door to all sorts
of amazing things you may not, you may find is actually the opposite to what you think. I was very fortunate. The door opened for me when I was only 15. And I've spent, 40 decades, maybe 400, 4 decades studying this stuff, and very skeptically, very scientifically. But I've also been so fortunate to know personally several of these researchers. And this stuff is real. This stuff is real. When you know why you're here, and you just get on and do it, every day can be full of meaning and purpose and joy. As I mentioned earlier, everyone asks themselves these questions in the last days and weeks of their lives. You know, did I really live? Did I really show love to others? Did I accept love? Did I my life really matter? What I was born to do? And many people, the answer is not great. So I think it's the best thing we can do is to discover why we're here and then live it to the utmost extent. And then we leave this world having no regrets, a life worth living. I hope that helps. Question from Andrea. Hello, Andrea. I'm not very clear on the way to create my life mission statement. Should it be worded in a specific way, like an affirmation? Should I repeat it to myself frequently when I'm doing my affirmations? I'm glad to hear you're doing affirmations. So powerful. I think, you know, just do a Google search for mission statements of famous people and just see how they word them, or just mission statements. And they're a good guideline to creating your own. When you have yours, I think it's the more concise, as I mentioned, the better. And, you know, if you manage to make it quite concise, then yes, you could convert it into an affirmation. And what a wonderful way to embed that in your subconscious mind so that it works on autopilot, so that it guides you without you having to really consciously think about it so much. That's a really effective and efficient way of doing it. So yeah, if you can turn it into an affirmation, fantastic. When it comes to creating your mission statement, as I mentioned, it can be as much about being as doing, being the way you want to be, and also you can include, you know, what would you say, to do items that aren't necessarily work or business or career oriented, and also, as I mentioned, this adding a so that element can be really powerful because it describes why you want to be and do these things. Okay, these are once again good ways of making impressions on your subconscious mind, and then you tie those three things together in a single sentence. But just print out the slides. It'll all make perfect sense. And you do that by clicking the link on the right-hand side of the page. I think it's the right-hand side of the page. If you're watching on a desktop browser, that is. But there is a link there for you to download on any device. I hope that helps. Question from Frank. For many years, I didn't see any purpose in life. And just like you said, my life was directionless. After a personal crisis, I started to appreciate each day a lot more. That crisis literally shocked me into seeing everything in a completely different way and to start appreciating and treasuring every day. My life is now completely different and I've achieved so much since then. I'm already clear on my main purposes in life, but should I always be reaching higher and higher to truly fulfill my overall life's mission? That's a great question, Frank. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I think as your confidence grows and you make an even greater contribution in the world, a greater difference, naturally your vision of what's possible also increases. And you know, this happened for me too. And it happened also, crisis situation. Even before that crisis situation where I literally lost everything, couldn't feed my family, even before that happened, I would often talk about gratitude. It was my favorite subject. Sometimes you need to learn things at a much greater depth. And, I honestly believe that nothing in life is wasted. And sometimes the most painful, difficult experiences are actually a gift from your higher self to yourself. Because I certainly wouldn't be doing what I do today if it wasn't from that crisis and being able to overcome it and what I learned from that and how I contribute as a result of that. So, I don't think we need to push ourselves too much or feel guilty if we're not making as big a difference as we want. There's always more that we could do. Everyone can do more. But I think the important thing is to use our wisdom and our energy and our time wisely. I often talk about minimum effort, maximum result. We can be zooming around here, there, and everywhere with very little effect. Or we can be doing the small things that have the maximum effect. It's important that you see a lot of people doing great things and they totally burn themselves out. So always getting that balance between your own needs, because when your needs are fulfilled, you have a lot more to give. But if you give until you drop, there's not much of you left. It comes to you come to a brick wall. So I think a higher level of service always requires a different way of being and doing, and high performance tools enable you to achieve more, make a bigger difference, but not necessarily with more energy taken up or more time. Not at all. It's minimum effort, maximum result. And when you work from the perspective of high performance, when you become a high performer, you get more done, you have less stress, you have more energy, enjoy your life more. So every month, our high performance section is so important. It's really important stuff. So I think when you keep just doing what you're doing and watch the path open in front of you, you'll find what to do next. Stepping stones do appear. When you have that motivation and that desire to make a difference, and you even just take baby steps, the path appears in front of you. I'm absolutely certain of that. So I think the universe keeps nudging you in the right direction. You don't need to squeeze your brain too hard or run at a billion miles an hour. That can often have the opposite effect. Okay. So I hope that helps, Frank. Another question. Yeah, have a couple more. Or I think this might be the last one. One or two more. This is from Mary. Hello, Mary. Mary says, I'm from a religious background and I've always been taught that I should be content with very little, to have faith and to not question matters of religion. You mentioned that the core of all religions is the same, but I'm not sure I agree with you. For me, growing spiritually is the result of prayer. And I do believe that helping others is the way to God. Why should I investigate things like near-death experiences when the Bible is all I need? That's a great question. Thank you for being so honest and for sharing that, Mary. I think faith is a very powerful thing. And because our faith determines the way we live our life. And our faith, our belief, determines our thoughts and our actions and our results. Faith is everything, actually, So what we believe is really important, really important. But, we can choose to believe something without direct evidence, and our belief may be correct or it may be incorrect. But I think blind faith it can be a bit dangerous because it's a very shaky type of faith. Now, I mean, all near-death experiences and all this evidence, exploration to the evidence for life after death. It's very, very clear. There is a life essence throughout the universe. We call it God or call it various different things depending on our perspective. This life essence, all the evidence says that this exists, God exists. But I think we all, there are so many different faiths and beliefs in the world. Many of them are based on blind faith. You've got to believe. If you don't, and you know, and as I say, that can be my own experience, is that when people's faith is not very strong, they spend a lot of time trying to convince other people that their way is right, and they're really trying to convince themselves that what they're doing is right. And I think it takes a lot of courage to question matters that we've been told not to question. But it can lead to a far deeper level of understanding, where instead of sort of superficially believing, we know in our core that what we're doing is right. Or we know in our core that this universal life essence or God exists. When we know in our core, it means that we live life in a very different way than just having a superficial level of faith. And I something very sad. I spoke with a friend of mine. We were over at a seminar in the US together. He's from the US, I'm from Ireland. And we were talking about faith. And he said, "Mike, I see you're very committed to making a difference in the world." And he's very, very religious. I'm not so much religious, I'm spiritual. I question everything. But I come to a deeper level of understanding, usually. And he said, "Mike, I see you're very spiritual. You believe in what you're doing." And he said, "I'm very religious." But he said, "I'll tell you something I'm worried about." He said, "I have a friend who was very high in his church, played a very prominent role in his church, really good person, really made a difference." And he said he started studying, I think, the history of Christianity and his faith. And, he thought that this is the best thing he could do, to learn all he could from all the different perspectives of his faith. And what he discovered was that a lot of the dogma that he'd been told, it didn't really stand up to scrutiny, that the core truths remained. It's all about becoming the best sort of person you can be, making as big a difference in society as you can, living, doing unto others as you would wish them to do to you. But he actually gave up Christianity because he found a few holes in what he had been taught. His whole, everything just fell apart for him, which I think is so sad. It's literally throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And that's, for me, I was really sad to hear that. But no matter what it is that we study, and if we really study and really want to find truth, there will be all sorts of things that we will have to encounter, which may change or slightly change what we believe, but it can bring us to a much deeper level of overall belief. And as my friend Daniel Brinkley once said, he said, "Look, religion is a bit like Swiss cheese. It's a lot of solid parts, but there's a lot of holes as well." And he said, "Which do you prefer, the solid bits or the holes?" So I think when you study the evidence for life after death, you hear massive amounts of people, millions of people who have experienced the same things. And when you have millions of people experiencing the same things, something real is happening. So I think that's much more solid than blind faith. So, it may seem scary to start questioning things and asking the questions that other people say you shouldn't ask, but I think it ultimately leads you to much deeper level of understanding and a much more enriched life and a much more appreciative life, where when you're doing things in the world, you're making a difference out of absolute genuine feeling and desire, rather than what one should do. Do you know what I'm saying? The outside, you should, this is the way you should behave. Wrong. This is the way I behave because I feel it's right and I want to make a difference. I believe the two types of faith are quite different. So I think, you know, when you study the evidence for life after death, you'll have no more fears of death. That will be gone forever. Also, you'll discover much more meaning and purpose in life. You also find that when you study this evidence, it validates most core religious belief, no matter what religion you may be. And also, it helps you live a far better and more contributive life. That's only good. And you'll have greater meaning and purpose and happiness in life. You know, this is what I have discovered from studying this, but I'm not alone. I've met so many people who have studied over the years, some really well-known people whose books I just mentioned earlier, that their lives are changed irreversibly in a positive way, simply because they've devoted their lives to studying this. So I hope that helps. And let's see now, another question here. Cynthia, hi Cynthia, says, when you're over 60 years old, is it too late to do anything? Cynthia, I hope not. I'm 58 and I have no intention of climbing up onto the scrap heap. Definitely not. Honestly, you know, I know this sounds strange, but I feel I'm at the beginning of my career, as it were, career as in real life mission. Everything up till now for me has just been preparation. I've been successful in business. I've started all sorts of different things. But honestly, I feel that that was all preparation. So, I mean, you know, you're as old as you feel you are. You know, this is why it's so important to learn these high performance techniques, so you have more aliveness, so you have more joy, so you have more energy, so you have better health. And, you know, the amazing thing is that there's this thing called neuroplasticity. Basically, your brain can reconfigure itself, but depending on how you think. So how you think determines everything. You know, I know I say ad nauseum, our dominant thoughts and our dominant emotions create our lives, creates the circumstances of our lives. So, you know, I certainly intend to stay as healthy as I possibly can for decades. I intend to leave a legacy behind that is far bigger than anything I've created in the last 58 years. So definitely 60, you could be just starting. You know, most people are retiring in their 60s. And, you know, this is really sad. Most people, you know, wait for retirement to be the time when they'll do all those things they always wanted to do. But, you know, the reality is most people get to retirement and they haven't got enough money to do that, you know. So that this is why these sessions every month are so important, because I'm sharing in the high performance section each month the things that matter the most, the things that enable you to live as creatively as you possibly can, to be incredibly successful in all areas of life, not just one or two. And, you know, that means that's every area of life: emotional, material, physical, spiritual. These things have been scientifically proved to work. So I hope that helps. 60 is only getting started, you know, and certainly these days, with the way science is going, you know, and an aging population, there is high likelihood that we'll all be around longer than previous generations. That's a fact. So be a beginner. Be a beginner. Learn as much as you can. Enrich your life with learning and increasing your understanding and your desire to make a difference. And join me again next month. Look, I hope that's helped. I don't see any more questions. Or are there? Hang on a second. Cynthia says, thank you. I learned a lot today. Thank you. Great question. Great question. And 60, honestly, you're a spring chicken. I feel like a spring chicken, not every day, but I do a lot of the time. You know, there's, I once heard someone, a great person, say that, you know, the secret to staying young is how much engaged in the world you remain. You know, I've met people in their 20s and 30s and they're old. They have experienced so much hardship, and we all do, but they've allowed that hardship to close themselves down to possibility. You know, it's just like conditioning. You can't do this, you can't do that. By the time you're in your 20s and 30s, you've been told so many you can'ts that you can't believe anything anymore. But then when you have hard knocks in life, relationships go wrong, careers that don't take off, by the time you're 30, you know, so many people are old. They have just, they're putting up with a dissatisfying mediocrity. And that is living death. So I think it's so important to start dreaming big again. Start taking baby steps to creating something really unique for yourself and your family. You know, get a copy of the most powerful goal achievement system in the world. I'm proud of this book because it's helped well over 100,000 people at this point. And if you know, it's available on Amazon. If you're a member of the Ultimate Success Club, you can download a free copy in the members area. Look, thanks so much for joining me, and stay really safe. And I look forward to being with you again next month. Take care. Bye-bye.